Well, let's bring in Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Johnny, with Austin Matthews out now for a minimum 3 weeks, is there one specific forward that you focus on where you say, that's the guy, you know, I want to see him elevate, or I want to see how he responds to this?
Yeah, well, I mean, whoever they put in that role, it doesn't really matter. Like, the Leafs are not going to be good without Austin Matthews, right? Like, you're not going to find someone to say, oh, yeah, well, we're okay without him. But, I mean, to me, I think Alexander Kerfoot is a bit of an interesting player to me because he's had some really good moments. He's been good in the playoffs. Sheldon Keefe really likes him, but he's sort of falling down the depth chart, sometimes playing on the fourth line now. But I still think Sheldon Keefe really values him, and I wonder if some.
What does he value, Johnny? What does he value? What does he do that he values? Because I don't know what that is.
Well, he's been a productive top six player when played with good players, generally speaking. Like, you know, if you put up, I know he's playing with good players, though, but if you're getting 45, 50 points, even if he doesn't score a ton of goals, like, that's very good production for a guy who makes whatever he makes, $3 million. So I think the fact that he can be defensively reliable or more reliable than some of the other guys that play up there, and he meshes well with William Nylander, I think all those things, to play center wing, can kill penalties, can be on the power play, like that versatility, even though he might not be great at anything that is obvious, I think a chance to reestablish that he's important to the team because it feels like his role is diminishing. He might be one guy that I would look to in the next few weeks to see what happens to him.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, Pontus Holmberg, that's the, like, is this,
right.
is like, is this
he's
Sheldon?
Surpassed. Yeah, yeah, surpassed, but is it, by Pontus Holmberg.
Right.
Like, yeah, but what do you want in the play? The question is, and Holmberg's a kid, Hazy, but come playoff time, that little speed skill guy that's a multi-purpose player, as MJ just mentioned, I don't know. It just seems like Holmberg's got a little more juice, and he might get in somebody's way. He might run somebody over. I just think with limited opportunity, to just bring a little bit of something, like some jam. I don't know. If you're just going to wheel around and you're not going to do much and you don't touch anybody, I think in a tough, grinding playoff series, you ultimately become useless.
I don't want to. I'm sorry to interrupt here, but I don't think Holmberg plays the first playoff game. I don't think he's on the roster.
Really?
I don't think he's playing in that first game. I think you'll see Kamp pushed down because you need to add to the depth of that group. Maybe I'm wrong. I think they're grooming him, giving him an opportunity, but I think Kamp is the guy that they, you know, value. And if Kerfoot's going to be in the middle, potentially, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't
see
Noodles
Holmberg. With Matthews out, they're getting Kane. Meyer,
well, no,
and
no,
Dumba.
But I'm just saying, like, you're right. They're getting all these players, but
they
I just
doing that.
I'm anticipating them making moves to add to the depth of their forwards, and I feel like Holmberg would be a guy on the outside looking in, still on the roster, still on the team, but just not available if you have more depth.
No, that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. I think, you know, it's safe to say if you have a third line of Kampf, Engvall, Kerfoot, that probably isn't going to cut it, you know, in some capacity. I think things are going to have to change on that front. But.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know it exactly. What's Tampa's third line? It's Ross, Colton, and I don't know,
Corey,
Nick Paul.
Perry.
Yeah, well, Corey Perry at this
fourth,
point. He's the fourth line with Pat Maroon, generally speaking, with Pierre Edouard Vermeer, but.
It's Nick Paul, Patty, like last night's game was Ross, Colton, Nick Paul, and Patty Maroon.
Right, like, so they're bigger for sure, and Nick Paul obviously had killer moments last year, but, you know, I'm not thinking those guys are terrorizing a series either. So
no.
This is a problem, and I guess this is where Boston is different, because you look at their third line, it's Charlie Coyle and it's Taylor Hall and it's, you know, Trent Frederick, all guys are going to get 20 something goals. So I just, you know, it's easy to be greedy and think that, you know, they need to have a great third line, and yeah, it'd be nice, and I'm with you, Noodles. I think they will add, but I think it's probably going to be more, because they're easier to find, a winger. And then you can slide Yarncroke down, and the third line is going to be Kampf, Yarncroke, and whoever, Engvall. And then the fourth line is Holmberg, Kerfoot, and take whatever big guy you want in there. You know, I think that's probably more realistic, because I think an impactful centerman, even on the third line, is going to be who's better than Kampf at this point, or Holmberg. might be also hard to find, unless you're going to get one of the big, big guys, which I don't know if they're going to swing for a Horvat or Taves or O'Reilly.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll find out between now and the 3rd, but or March 3rd and the deadline. But Matthew's out. I mean, a minimum 3 weeks. Is there any silver lining that, you know, they got a soft schedule coming up, they have a lot of time off? Obviously, something else had been nagging him throughout the season. We don't believe that was the knee. Can you picture a scenario here where, you know, in a month, month and a half, 2 months, he comes back, he's really benefited from some time off and could be in a really good place come playoff time?
Absolutely, and I don't think this is just, you know, being an optimistic pie-in-the-sky kind of guy, because for all the reasons you mentioned, like a three-week minimum knee injury, that sounds like an MCL sprain to me. I've had them. You can, you know, you come back, you feel totally normal. Like, you don't feel compromised at all. Totally normal. Just takes a few weeks to kind of tighten things up. Maybe he puts a knee brace on if he has to, but that's not going to slow him down. And it allows him to recover from the other stuff that's been bothering him. Clearly, there has been other stuff bothering, as he even mentioned when he missed a little time. So that should have a chance to heal and settle down as well. He's missing, if he misses 3 weeks to the day, he's going to miss 6 games, right? Chicago and Columbus are the last three. They have Ottawa, Washington, and I'm not sure. Anyways, and they have the All-Star break and a bit of a bye week there. So, like, if you were going to pick a three-week stretch to miss, this would probably be the optimal three-week stretch. Now, you never want him out of the lineup. You never want him hurt. But I could see him getting healthier than maybe he's felt in a long time and kind of the mental refresh to kind of be ready to go down the stretch. Yeah, and you look at the schedule, it should be something that is not going to hurt Toronto's chances of getting home ice. I heard you guys talking earlier. I absolutely have thought about home ice because I know it hasn't mattered because they've lost on the road, they've lost at home. But if you're asking me where I'd rather be, do you want to play Game 7 in Tampa where Tampa's won 11 straight? Do you want to play Game 7 in Toronto where Toronto's got the third best home record in the league? I want it at home. I'm not going to guarantee a win, but I still really would prefer to be at home in that case. So I think it is the only thing really that Toronto has to play for, but I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, at this point, it doesn't have to matter because it's still January, but if you're picking one or the other, clearly you would prefer home ice, and I'm sure the coach most certainly wants it because that's where a coach can likely play the biggest role in outcomes of games and matchups and that whole chess game that comes with a playoff series. As a winger yourself, Johnny, take us inside the mind of William Nylander and Mitch Marner today. When now they're looking at that whiteboard when they walk in the room, and it's not Matthews and Tavares, it's only Tavares, and only one guy's going to play with him. What do you think they're thinking right now?
So if it was me, I'd be like, oh, damn. Like, God, my life got way harder.
Yeah.
But if it's them, and both of them, I think they're like, all right, I got a chance to show how good I am, how great I am. And I thought, you know, Will and Nylander may at some point play in the middle in the next few weeks, but even still, like, if Nylander can take it upon himself, and it looks like he's going to play with Yarncroak and Holmberg, like, and make that line go, like, that's pretty impressive stuff. And I think he, like, relishes that opportunity. I think Mitch Marner, same thing. Like, okay, Austin's not there. Power play's going to be different. Ice time's going to be different. Pressure to produce might be a little different because that's kind of shared between all the guys. I think those two guys are wired and are so good that they're like, yeah, we're fine. I'll be fine in the short term, and I look forward to showing that we can survive without them, in large part because I'm great, because they are.
Yeah, I said for me, the focus is on Willie. Like, we had a conversation about Nylander earlier. And, you know, in past years, he had a reputation of being maybe someone who would come and go, and he'd get sat on the bench. It always seemed like Keefe and even Babcock would sit him. They were reluctant to sit Matthews or Marner, but Willie would always, you know, get isolated and sat down. And this year, he's been nothing but consistent. You know, I think he's been their most consistent forward. He had a great start to the year, too. And he's leading the team in goals, leading the team in points. And if it is going to be Marner and Tavares, I'm with you. I think he has the most at stake here in terms of a reputation and continuing to build what he's already built this season, where if his foot doesn't come off the gas, then, man, like that.
Yeah.
I think it also opens. I think this is an opportunity for Sheldon Keefe to take a look at what can happen with different lines come playoff time. You know, like the big four have consistently played together, and I assume that will continue. But maybe there is a scenario where you're on the road and you don't have that matchup. Maybe Willie can play on a third line and still produce offense, and you can spread the wealth a little bit more.
Well, I mean, look what happened with Pittsburgh when they had Phil Kessel back when Phil was really very good. Probably should have won the Conn Smythe on the third line. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you know, you can take advantage of some serious matchups if you're able to do that, spread it around. So, yeah, perhaps that is an opportunity for Willie. But I think Willie, it's all upside because you're right. The fact that you'd say he might be the most consistent forward so far, when Mitch Marner went through, what, a 23-game point streak?
That's
and
right.
I'm with you. Like, I don't think you're saying that for hyperbole. I think you're right. That's how good he's been this year. So, you know, I think it's all upside because he's going to keep doing his thing. He's going to keep getting points. But if they continue to win, if he can add some sort of consistent offense from a group that is Holmberg, who the stats aren't in front of me, but he's got, what, 412 points in the year or something, 14 points in the year, and Yarncroke, who's never really eclipsed 40 points in a season, that's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive. So, I don't think this is doom and gloom. It's never good, obviously. Austin Matthews' injury to his knee, whatever. But given all the stuff we just talked about, it should be all right for the Leafs.
Where do you think Matt Murray's mindset is at right now?
Yeah, and you might have a better sense than me, Noodles. But I think he's probably excited. He's probably happy that he's going to get this start against Ottawa, his former team. I think he probably wants to show them that they're missing something. I think he probably wants to compete for the net. But I wonder, and this is, so like, I think all those things are kind of obvious, right? Like any professional athlete would feel those things. I just wonder where his confidence is. Like, does he think, man, I'm really struggling, I don't feel good about my game? Or is he like, I feel rested and crisp, and let's go take on this challenge of trying to get the net back and beat my former team and all the rest of it? That's, to me, the wild card question.
Yeah, I agree. We've been talking about it. It just, you know, and you mentioned before the amount of games they have really in the next 3 weeks is six. So, you know, it's very spaced out, and you want to battle for the net. So you have to have a good showing so that you want it to kind of be a seesaw battle. And I don't know how you feel. I've said this. To me, who starts against Boston next Wednesday is the goaltender you have a little bit more faith in at this time right now.
Well, is that even a question? I mean, doesn't it have to be Samsonov today? That's not to suggest that it won't be Murray again. That's not to suggest that Murray won't get the start in game one of the playoffs. But if you're asking me who they have more faith in today, it's got to be Samsonov with the way he's played the last couple weeks.
At home, without question.
I guess they called Samsonov's last game in Detroit. They lost. He played awesome. And they lost, right? So I don't know why his record. Yeah, certainly at home, but I mean, I think just generally speaking, home or road, the last 3 weeks, he's been significantly better than Matt Murray.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So in terms of where Matthews is at, we were talking about this in the last hour, and my spidey senses are starting to go off a little bit, Johnny. With
get ready for it.
Well, the phrasing of out a minimum of 3 weeks, which he's a young athlete. As I've said multiple times today, he has access to medicine and rehabbing that the average person does not have, and he's in incredible shape. So very well could be 3 weeks. Maybe it's four. Maybe it's five. But what if it's eight? What if they know today, and we know the Leafs do not show their hand very often, if at all. What if they know it's actually eight or nine? Do you think they could pull a Kucherov here or a Patrick Kane from back in the day? Do you think they could? Do you think they would? If they knew that it was going to take him longer, do you think they'd say, we'll use that $11 million plus at the deadline and we'll see you for game one?
Oh, 100% they would if they could, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it was long enough, and I think you're nowhere near accurate here, Faze.
Okay.
But I mean,
speaking hypothetically.
Yeah, it's a rather big hypothetical.
Hornily speaking.
Yes, yes. He's all horned up at the prospects of getting a whole bunch of players. But
yes.
If there was like 10 days left in the season and he could come back, that's when you have that conversation. Like, you know what? You know, just push it. Take it easy. We'll get you back for game one, and you'll be good to go. We're going to have all these other players around then for sure. But I don't think they're going to be pushing it, you know, multiple weeks if they don't have to, nor would he let them And I don't think they'd say 3 weeks if they really believed it was going to be nine. Because you know who might do that, though? Colorado with Gabriel Landeskog. I think there's a chance he might not play in the regular season. And if he gets those last couple weeks, then they do the Kucherov or the Kane and use that money, go get a second-line center, whoever it might be, and see what happens. But I don't think they would do it if they could. Matthews, Marner, anyone takes it.
You have to know by March 3rd, right? Like you're not getting anyone after that.
But there's only, 5-6 weeks left in the season prior to March 3rd. So it's like 11 weeks from now. You'd have to have almost a torn ACL to be out for 11 weeks at this point with all the knee technology. So I doubt it very, very much. But if it was available, they 100% would use it.
Yeah, I think you'd
ridiculous
have
thought by Hayes.
It's crazy. It's not even remotely accurate. No.
I'm roundtabling.
High in the sky.
It's happened before in the league. Kucherov was bag skating a month out. And they're like, he's not ready. And then all of a sudden he was ready.
He had a hip labrum surgery. I had a shoulder labrum surgery. I was in full practice participation mode in February, and I never played again.
Right.
That year. I never got cleared by the doctors. So, the hips and shoulders are different, but it seemed like my coach was like, what are you playing? You look fine. Like, get out there. I'm like, I'm trying. I just can't get cleared. So I don't think that one's quite as – I think the last week might have been sketchy, but not the last month for Kucherov.
Yeah. It was a miracle that for game one he was cleared. That was some, a medical miracle.
It's a Festivus miracle.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Ottawa or Vancouver, bigger disappointment this season?
Good question. I think probably Vancouver. Although I didn't think they were very good, but I thought they thought they were really good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought Vancouver. I think Ottawa is going to be exactly what I thought they'd be. They're going to be a good offensive team, put up a lot of numbers, have mediocre goaltending, have maybe slightly less than mediocre defense. They're going to get 85 points, and they're going to take a step but not make the playoffs. And I think they're going to be almost exactly like that when it's all said and done. Might be 80 points, might be 86, whatever, but they're going to come up short. So I don't think that's disappointing because that would have been realistic in my mind for them to do that. Vancouver, on the other hand, I also didn't have them make the playoffs. I didn't think they were that good, but I didn't think they were this. And it's not even the record on the ice, but really the way they've gotten to that record. I can't ignore the gong show that has happened out on the West Coast, like right from the start of training camp with people leaving their front office and then comments about professionalism and shape and intensity and practices and a coaching change and all of it. I think it'd be hard to be more disappointing than Vancouver.
How long do you think it'll take Rick Tocchet to want to be back on that TNT panel with Biz Nasty? It looked like halfway through the first period the other night, he was like,
yeah.
Panel life is a good life.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, after the Chicago game, he's like, this is not so bad. I love this. I love being in the fight. I love it. Yeah. And then after the Seattle game, he's like, what the hell did I sign up for? Because this team is going to be a challenge for him. And you have the GM basically acknowledging, I can't unwind this. Like, he's basically said, my job was to free up money, and I can't do it. So, like, where is that going to go? Like, where is that going to go for the team that they can't do it? And what's that going to look like for talk? So, yeah, he might maybe middle of next November. He'll get through this year. He'll be fine. He'll have the quick summer. He'll enjoy himself. But maybe in the middle of next year, he might be pining for the TNT bench.
Yeah, that wouldn't be surprising at all. But he's making money, that head coach money out there in Vancouver.
Yeah, I got to think you got a pay raise. People are like, well, he basically makes his name on TNT. I'm like, listen, TNT is not TNT basketball panelists. They're not making $10 million on the panel on TNT.
Right.
Talk is going to make $3 or $4 million American coaching Vancouver. I don't think he made. I mean, I have no idea, but I would be surprised if he made that much money on the hockey panel on TNT.
Yeah, I think he's doing all right in Vancouver.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, for me, I would answer that Ottawa over Vancouver. Vancouver's been more embarrassing. Like, it's been a gong show. It's been horrible for the brand.
As but Ottawa said, it's a bad PR year for Vancouver.
It's been a bad PR year, like on and off the ice for them. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like everything that comes up, now it's questioned. You know, Tanner Pearson injury. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Quinn Hughes makes a backhanded comment, and all of a sudden, that's you're going to have a press conference over it. You know, it's just, it's been a, I think they would openly admit it's been a bit of a nightmare.
Absolutely.
From pillar to post as far as just how it's unfolded.
For sure. And that is easy to gravitate to. It's like got a tabloid vibe to it. But Ottawa has been very quiet, and they're just going to miss the playoffs by 20 points again. You know, it's like, from that standpoint, I think that's more disappointing that Vancouver's had ups and downs. You know, Vancouver's, not many recently, but like Ottawa has just been waiting to pounce, like waiting to take a step,
I think they have taken it. Like some of these kids, like this Stützle is going to be a star. And I think Sanderson coming in, like they've taken a step. It's just, you should have never said the rebuild's over. I think they play meaningful hockey, which is, you know, 80 points, going to get some points off teams in that. I would say 18 months from now, that team's going to be really good. Like they're
and at this point in his career, it's not a very nice thing to say, but Cam Talbot at this point in his career, he is not a 1A. He is not a guy that's going to take you to the promised land. He's got to be a secondary guy, and you have to find some type of elite guy to put in that net sooner than later. And as we've seen, they don't fall out of trees, so I don't know what the hell they're going to do. But if they want to keep wheeling out that goaltending that they've done the last couple of years, they're going to continue to get the same results.
Well, he was a part of winning the offseason, right? Like Talbot was winning it, Giroux was winning it, DeBrincat was winning it. And that's my point, is they have 45 points, and it's the end of January. So, you know, you call it whatever you want. You can try to shine it up as much as you want. It's not good. I mean, Vancouver's worse in terms of points, but I don't know. Because, like, look at what Buffalo's doing now. Like, forget Boston, Toronto, Tampa, who you're really trying to catch. Florida's getting it together. Buffalo's taking a next step. Like, who is Ottawa catching them?
Somebody sent out a tweet today naming, like, five guys that had more points than Jack Eichel.
Eichel, since Stone got injured, like, he's done nothing out there.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet.
Nothing.
You know. I know he's been injured, but he's you don't see him, like, leading SportsCenter with highlight reel goals or anything while those Buffalo guys are.
No.
Yeah. Buffalo's, you know, they're dancing on the edge of the playoffs there.
You put an elite goalie next year in Buff and kind of tinker with that, and you got Power a year older and Dahlin, you might have some business there to tend with, I'll tell you that.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
No, but like I said, Noodles, they had Linus Ullmark sitting right in their net.
Yeah.
And all
he
of a sudden, he's a Boston Bruin.
Yeah,
he's
probably going to win a Vezina. Probably win the Vezina.
Right now, he's the inside track to win.
Has to be.
Would make me throw up. I will address that on Monday, possibly.
Yes, an address to the Buffalo Sabres. We're crossing the border with our addresses. Mail It In Friday brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. From touchdowns to tie bites, puck drops to pizza, BP's elite lineup of apps, wings, and ice cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Plus, during January, delicious pastas start at $10.99 every single day. Hustle into your local BP tonight. We're an hour away from Dear Hazy B. We're a half an hour away from Luke Bryan and Al Dog. Team Luke Bryan and Team Al Dog picking the championship games. Team Al Dog is on the AFC game. Team Luke Bryan on the NFC game. So we'll get to those in about a half an hour. Raptors and Leafs in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.